Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
A lot of talk going on these days about who is the greatest ever.
Brady Goat won tonight.
Yep. Tom's Goat.
There he is, the king, Tom Brady.
No one puts Tommy in a corner.
Maybe the best way to settle this debate is to play it out head to head.
Who threw the prettiest pass for the Patriots all day? They had a wideout throw the nice pass.
Chiefs are number one. Patriots are number two.
Through three quarters, this wasn't the Tom Brady proving he's the GOAT versus Aaron Rodgers.
It's not just Rodgers versus Belichick. It's Rodgers versus McCarthy.
I got to have an excuse. I need a pass here.
Right now.
I have no idea what the hell's going on.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, back here on OMF. We are live down here at Gillette Stadium. It is Patriots Monday. Time to talk with the coach. It's brought to you by Massachusetts General Hospital Cancer Center. Everyday amazing. By the Northeast Men's Clinic, specializing exclusively in men's sexual health. McFarland Energy, Fraser Engineering, great people doing great work. And by the Boston area Mercedes-Benz dealers. Bill, good to see you.
Glenn. Good to see you too, Christian.
Coach,
Luke,
coach.
How are you doing?
Good. Nice win last night, 7-2 on the season. So let's start with the defense, because the defense made a huge impact in that game and made a couple of big stops, and then obviously that turnover. How difficult was it designing what you wanted to do against Aaron Rodgers? And obviously the score says you were pretty successful, but what impressed you the most about what your defense did against that offense?
Well, they're very hard to prepare for. They have a lot of good players, and they have a very good scheme. They're well coached, and they have a great quarterback. So there were some plays that I thought we defended pretty well, and they still made plays on them. So it's just tough. But as a team, I thought that we really tried to play each guy, tried to play his responsibility. It's hard to overplay any player without being too late somewhere else. So. Kind of everybody had to take care of their area, and it's tough. They could run the ball, they can throw it, and they can extend plays.
You got some pressure on him though during the course of the game.
We did. He got out of most of it, but we're at least able to stay after him and keep the timing off a little bit. So it was a challenge, and we hung in there. We gave up some yards, gave up some drives, but forced five punts, turned the ball over once, stopped him once on down. So. You know, against them, that's pretty. I'd say you take that, but they're hard to defend.
Yeah, even in your post game press conference, it almost felt like to me that there was a sense of relief that game was over.
Oh my God!
You know, and you don't have to face it again because it not like you dodged a bullet, but you know he can just create so much damage, and you guys were able to counter that.
Yeah. No. Look, I don't think they're saying I wish we had the Patriots twice a year either. You know, I mean it's a tough game and. I'm glad we don't have them twice a year. They're hard to prepare for, and they're really good. And they're good on defense, too. They did a real good job of mixing it up on defense and changing and game planning some things that were challenging. And so it's what it was. It was a good football game. It was a tough game. They're a tough team. It's similar to when we played them 4 years ago out there. Fortunately, the ball just – you know, bounced our way a little bit more last night than it did in Green Bay 4 years ago. But that's the kind of game it was.
So you guys, I thought, did pressure him. I know it was just that one sack. It was a huge sack. But I'm just looking at it. You guys are like 13 sacks, like 30th in the league. But it seems like you pressure the quarterbacks. Are sacks the only thing you look at or the pressure stats? Because it seems like you guys are putting a lot of pressure on quarterbacks.
Yeah, well, again, the most important stat is points. That's what we really look at, and everything else falls below that. So the better you do in some other areas, sometimes they'll show up in points as well. But points is what really matters.
I was wondering if there's like a sabermetric stat out there. Everyone's using the crazy numbers as far as you might. The sacks might not be there, but as far as pressuring the quarterback, you're doing exactly what you want them to do.
Well, I think we're affecting the quarterback in the passing game, and our coverage has been, again, it all has to tie together, so it doesn't do any good to pressure the quarterback and not be on the receivers. Doesn't do any good to be on the receivers and not pressure the quarterback because eventually all receivers can get open in this league. So it's a combination of both and disrupting the timing of the passing game.
You had a couple of trick plays in the game that both were successful in this game. Christian was talking earlier about so much of that is timing during the game. How much of it also is that they've seen the way you've run maybe the screen, and now suddenly you come back, you watch how they defend it, and you come up with a wrinkle off of that in which maybe you can get Josh Gordon free, streaking down the field. How much of it is set up by a play that you ran earlier and the way they reacted to that play?
Sometimes there's an element of that, or a play you've seen on film, and this is kind of the way that they play it. Reverses sometimes fall into that category, the way they close or pursue on the backside or don't pursue on the backside. There's some element of that. And sometimes you just, it's just a solid play. Like the fundamental of a flea flicker is a solid play. Draw everybody up and then try to throw it behind them. It comes down to execution, and you're going to pretty much get the same reaction from everybody when you run that play. It's not one you can run a lot, but when you hand the ball off and he runs up into the line, it's going to draw people into the line of scrimmage. Now you have to be able to, cleanly handle the ball, get a pitch back to the quarterback, and throw it on time and so forth. So plays like that are really more about execution than they are, trying to match them up against a certain defense. We hit it against Pittsburgh a couple of years ago in the championship game. It was a little different route, but it's the same idea. They came up and Hogan got behind them, and it was a touchdown.
Yeah, see, I always feel like that play never works. I feel like, the back either doesn't sell it enough or, it's they don't bite on it and ends up being thrown to the check down. You talk about execution. Like what James White did as far as just buying himself time, I thought was something that was really made that play work.
No question. And the key to that play is really the back, because he's the one who's got to make the decision. He's got to run up into the line, kind of draw the defense to him, but not too long, and then pitch it back to the quarterback. And on that particular play, on the left side, on the offensive left side of the formation, the tackle and the end both ran up the field. So they were as deep as Brady was. So when James pitched it, he kind of had to, usually a back won't pitch it in that situation. He'll if he sees somebody deep, he'll just run it and gain what he can gain. It's easy when you run up in the line, everybody's in front of you, then it's easy to pitch back because there's nobody back there by the quarterback. But when they're up the field like they were on that play, I thought James made a real good decision to sense that they were blocked by Tooney and Trent Brown, and then he pitched it back, and so Tom still was able to execute the play. But that's a tough choice for the back to make. And James, we had James flipping it to Tom, Tom throwing it to Edelman. So, some of our most dependable players operate in that play.
So James White gets kind of dinged up a little bit, but Patterson comes in and runs the ball. I think it was 4 carries, 40 yards, touchdown. The impressive thing is because you're not sure of getting out in space on the edge, but the way he runs inside the tackle has been – and you watch this guy run the football, and you think, and I know he's done it before a little bit in Oakland, but even are you impressed at how he's been able to run inside?
Yeah, and CP runs hard now. He runs hard. He's big. He's fast. He's got good vision. I thought he found space a couple times on the lead play, on the play before the touchdown, on the outside play to the offensive left. He found space, read the blocks well, but when he gets moving, he's fast, and he runs with power. And it doesn't look like the defenders are in a big rush to tackle him. He's a hard running guy.
So between, I know he's run. I, what was you say between him running and Julian Edelman throwing? You get guys knocking on your door saying, "Hey, by the way, I can do this too. I can kick. I can do whatever you need."
Well, we've had some depth like you have every year, and so guys sometimes have to get different roles and step in and do different things. And Dwayne Allen last night played 60-some plays and really did a good job for us. It's different than Rob, but the role that he played and the way he performed that role and executed it was very good. So, we have a lot of guys on our team that did that.
I know Patterson has run before, but you told us last week, I asked you about the running back depth situation, and you said it was a concern. So you go through the week. Patterson obviously is part of your game plan. I don't know whether Sony Michel was a decision that was going to come down to the last couple of days or whatever. Why did you go with Patterson this week, and what were you seeing during the course of the week? Obviously, he ran a little bit for you last week.
Yeah, well, we just kind of built on last week. We did it for Buffalo. This was a short week. We were able to follow up with some of the things we did in Buffalo, add a couple things to it. But he did a good job in Buffalo, and so we built on it. Hopefully we get Sony back soon. We'll see how that goes. And hopefully James is okay. And maybe the position can get stronger and get a little bit more depth there than we've had the last couple of weeks.
So Whitehead for the Packers, ended up smacking Andrews in the face. Like, there was a little, Andrews pushes him, and then it wasn't like Whitehead kind of like squared up on him, kind of just instinctively kind of like, you know, threw a punch. What didn't really feel like a punch, but he gets kicked out of the game for that. I'm just trying to figure out what the, I guess there's a letter of the law and the spirit of the law. I mean, did you think or expect him to be kicked out for that?
Yeah, I didn't really see the play live. And again, like, that's really, it doesn't really matter what you think or what I think. It matters what the officials think that saw the play, and that's the way it is in every game. So, but I mean, look, when you throw a punch at a guy, that's not a good thing. So, that's, we don't ever want to do that. It's one thing to push a guy. It's another thing to throw a punch at him. It's another thing to touch an official. There's very strict guidelines on that. And if you cross the line, then you put yourself in a position where you have to suffer the consequences. So,
they
made the call. I can't, you know, I don't know. It's their call, their decision, and I'm not surprised that it happened. I mean, I guess I wouldn't have been surprised if it didn't happen, but you know, you just can't go around punching guys in the face.
No, yeah, and you will, yeah. Well, I guess that's probably a good rule to follow. What I was curious, do you guys have a designated person to walk that? If you guys have that situation, like he had to take like a perp walk, like they walked him, it was like the walk of shame, and there was somebody escorting him off the field just in case, I guess, he changed his mind, wanted to run on the field. Is that the strength coach's responsibility?
No. Like we would have that covered. I mean, the worst situation was in Miami when both teams came out of the same end zone with the Dolphins, mm-hmm. and Light and Crowder both got ejected, and both guys walked out down their respective sidelines and into the end zone and kind of got to the tunnel at the same time as their ejection. So
no carryover?
I mean, situation. Well, you know, then they kind of disappeared in the tunnel. I don't really know. You have to ask Light about that one, what happened. That was a classic moment, though. But of two guys being ejected from the game and then having to exit the same in the same tunnel, they've changed that now, so that won't happen in that stadium again. But that was I would say somewhat of a humorous moment in a not really a funny situation, but it was, in retrospect, it was a humorous moment.
Well, speaking of humorous moment, you got planning something special for Tom Brady when he gets his 1,000th yard? You know, he's just one shy. Yeah. Stop the game, get him the ball.
A certificate, I mean, maybe?
50 yards basically a year. Is that what it comes down to?
I guess. I mean, look, we're not individual stats. They are what they are. We all have them. And in the end, we play for the team goals. So I think we all feel that way. I'm sure Tom does.
Didn't he say, I think he said it was embarrassing if they stopped the game, if they do it?
But it did
kind
seem
of embarrassing.
Like,
I only have 1,000.
Even like on the goal line, it almost seemed like Green Bay finally did what, as a viewer, we wonder why a lot of teams don't do in that quarterback sneak. Looks like they had like four guys over center to prevent that quarterback sneak. Is that what you saw, like the goal line? I think it was 3rd and 1, then 4th and 1?
Yeah, they were in there tight. You know, we gave it to James for a touchdown, and then CP outside, those plays scored. So it's hard on the goal line to take away everything. You take away one thing, you're light on something else. They changed their – again, that Green Bay did a good job. They changed up some things defensively, and you know, that's always a little bit of an adjustment, and they got us on a few things. We got them on a few things, but they did a good job mixing it up.
I want to ask you about challenges in the game yesterday and the information that you get and Ernie upstairs. The Adams ball that hit the ground. How quickly do you get that information, and especially now because you know what you do. You get Tom Brady to get up there and snap the ball right away if there's anything in question. So you literally had 14 seconds, Bill, to make that decision on that play. What information can you get in 14 seconds to make that decision?
Well, on that particular play, it was right in front of us. It was literally probably 5 yards away from it, and I was behind it. But it was as it happened, I had my doubts about the play, and then we were able to get a quick confirmation upstairs. And I threw the flag, I think, just about as they were about ready to snap the ball. So in that type of situation, the guys in the press box, they can see the offense coming to the line. They need a quick decision on that. And if it's clean, which they had a clean look at it, evidently. You know, they said, you know, I said it's a ball on the ground. And they said, he didn't get it. And so I challenged it.
Okay, and the sideline.
But sometimes you don't get that view. And if you do, then you, great. And if you don't, then you have to decide, you know, do you want to challenge a play? Depending on the impact of the play. So if it's going to make a huge impact in the game, maybe if it's 10-90, you still challenge it because it's such a huge play. If it's a play that gains 6 yards and it doesn't really matter, then not doesn't matter. But if it's a 6-yard gain, then do you really want to, even if it's 80-20, do you really want to potentially lose a challenge right. for a play that doesn't really have that much of an impact in the game? So there's a pretty big swing there. And then the other question, as you pointed out, is how certain are you that you're right? If you're 100% certain that you're right, then in most cases you might as well go ahead and challenge it because you're still limited to 3, so that would count as 1 even if you get it right. If there's any doubt that it may not, then you know, then you effectively lose 2 challenges, not 1, because you know, you go from 2 to 1 where potentially you could have 3.
So. I got to believe it's stressful because the quarterbacks now, and Tom, you guys are doing it now. You're rushing right up to that line, and you're snapping if it's in question.
Yeah.
And the other one was that sideline with Gordon. Now, looking at the replay, looked like he tapped the toe inbounds and then the heel came out of bounds. But when you're trying to figure that out, is that clear-cut evidence that can overturn a play? Don't you also have to think of that? Say,
yeah.
Well, looks like it's in, but... Are they gonna? Is that enough video for them to make that call?
Exactly, and that's you definitely have to think about that, Glenn. Sure, because on the Adams catch, it was ruled a catch, so you really have to see the ball hit the ground. If it's close, then you let it go. And on the Gordon play, that was called incomplete, so we had to be sure that second foot was in bounds, and it looked like the second foot came down on the view that. That we saw, because we talked about that play, that didn't look like that foot was in bounds. Now, maybe on closer look it was, I'm not sure, but, you know, it looked like it was on the white, so that's why we didn't challenge that one. A little bit the same thing on the first down conversion to Adams there in the fourth quarter. It was kind of right on the line. When Harmon hit him, he was slanting over the middle, it was third and like 6 or 7, something like that. Harmon hit him. It looked like it was short of the line. And we were expecting it to be 4th and 1, and they gave him the first down. And it was close, but since they gave it to him again, he would clearly have had to have been short, and it was close. I'm not sure that he was, so, you know, we let that one go.
So Mike Vrabel and the Tennessee Titans, you guys are going up there to see them. Is he the first, I guess, not just this generation, I guess, but since you've been a coach, the first player – turn head coach that you've had to go against? I know, I'm sure there's been players that have been assistant coaches, but Mike's obviously a head coach.
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah.
It is.
And the question I'm getting a lot when you were playing with Mike, when he was a teammate of mine, you know, did you know he was going to be a coach? My answer was always yes. But did you have any indication based on what you saw that he had, you know, professional football head coach material?
Well, he talked about coaching after playing all the way from the time back when we signed him, when he was at Pittsburgh and when we first – well, I met him when he was at Ohio State. Actually, it might have gone back that far in the initial pre-draft interviews. You know, what do you want to do after you finish playing football and things like mm-hmm. that. And so he was always pretty upfront about that, about wanting to coach. And then when we got him as a player, he – expressed that as well, you know, when I get done playing, I'd like to coach and so forth. And as you know, in practice, he practiced a lot, not only on defense, but on scout team. He would run, play outside linebacker, play inside linebacker, play defensive end, play strong safety, play free safety. And he just, you know, was always in good condition, enjoyed mm-hmm. practicing, enjoyed taking a lot of reps, and enjoyed playing different positions, including tight end, as you know. So,
thanks for that.
Yeah.
That was the other question
Red
I got.
Zone.
That was the other question I got. How do you feel about Mike Vrabel playing tight end? I should ask you.
10 touchdown passes.
I need to ask you.
Not good for him, though.
The genesis of this is so funny because I still talk to Dan Graham. We still, and Ben's still playing.
Yeah.
So I remember I was like, man, we had a first-round pick in Ben Watson, a first-round pick in Dan Graham, of course, me. And I was like, wow, he still put Mike Vrabel in there. I don't know what we did to Bill, but he sure was trying to stick it to us. I don't know what it is. Somebody must have had some, you know, smart-aleck comment to you, and you said, you know what, I'll prove to you who's in control. The genesis of that, like, do you remember how it even started? Or was it a need-based thing? Did somebody get
hurt?
Yeah,
I'm sure it started as a need-based thing.
So
yeah,
you weren't
sure.
just trying to screw with us?
What, I do that?
I don't know.
You know I wouldn't do that.
Have you talked with him? I know you obviously you've had assistance mentoring him at all.
Yeah. Well, no, Mike and I have talked. Yeah, I talked when he was at Ohio State, when he was at Houston, and when he's at Tennessee. I have a ton of respect for Mike and all that he did for us here, and you know, wish him well. Other than this week, but you know, Mike and his family, and I mean, he's been a great Patriot, been a great friend, been a great. I think he's represents the game well, the way he played it, the way he's coached it, and his passion for it. So, yeah, I mean, I love Mike Vrabel. Yeah. I just, not this week, but otherwise. Yeah.
You know, I think his son actually goes to BC.
He does, yeah. He's a freshman there. He's backup left tackle. Yeah. And no, I know Mike was up at the UMass game early in the season, right before the opener, you know, that Labor Day weekend. And so, yeah, they you know, Mike and his family, Jen. I mean, I really wish him all the best.
Christian, it's good you've gotten over it, though.
Well, not necessarily. Closure could be a closure. Yeah, closure.
This is closure.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
So, Coach, I was wondering because I think it was five of the last seven primetime games. Is it nice to get that over with? You only got a couple 4 o'clocks. Does it matter to you, or?
It's nice not to play at night. Absolutely. Yeah. The night games kill you, and they get you the next day. And really, it takes you a couple days to get by them.
That's a lot.
Yeah, 4 of the last 5. So, but you know, look, the schedule is what it is, and every long week's a short week, and so whenever we play, we just got to be ready to go. But it's they're hard. They are, especially. I thought our team did a great job this week. I told them that after the game. I thought they did a great job coming off the Monday night game on the road. Short week, Green Bay, which is a hard team to prepare for, very hard to prepare for. Really, you know, with less time and kind of less opportunity, really, really worked hard. I thought they did a good job all week and then, you know, played hard last night. So that's good.
I know the big fellow's going to ask you for your drive of the game. I just wanted, before he did that, to ask you about that first drive because I thought that was as efficient on the up-tempo as any drive I've seen all season long. It almost seemed easy, Bill. And it got you out of the gate quickly.
Well, I think that was it was well executed, good tempo. Tom made some good decisions. Josh made some good calls. We blocked well. We had a number of things going there. They very quickly on the next series changed their defensive structure and you know gave us a new look. And then they switched it around again later on in the game in the second half. So. The way it started and the way it ended up were not the same at all. There were several different, digressions in there along the way. And so they did a good job of adjusting to what we did. And then we had to adjust, and it was kind of back and forth one of those games. But, as it turned out, that was a big drive, big points, and, able to play most of the game from ahead. Yep. So it was, offensively, we were ready to go and able to capitalize on some opportunities.
I already think I know what the answer to this question is going to be.
Yeah, let's go with that.
But
we
wrap
so
things
go.
Up with
All
our
right.
Mercedes-Benz drive of the week.
Second best.
The second best? Was that the best drive of the week?
Oh, that was a big one. Yeah, the CP drive was a good drive, too. You know, where he ran, we got the penalty, and they ran a couple more times, ran inside, ran outside, and scored from the 5-yard line. And that was another impressive drive. And then after that, Green Bay went and kind of changed their defense to be, say, more run and a little bit better against the running game. And so then the next time, start third quarter, we dealt with a little bit of a different different defensive system, if you will. So it was each one of those drives, interesting, each one of those successful drives kind of precipitated some movement on the other side of the ball very quickly, and so it was a multiple adjustment game.
All right, so our Driver of the Week was brought to you by the Boston area Mercedes-Benz dealers.
And this entire conversation with the coach has been brought to you by Putnam Investments. Putnam Investments and the New England Patriots, proud partners committed to an active game plan on the field and off. 7-2, We're on to Tennessee. We'll see you next Monday right back here.
All right? Sounds good.
Have a good one.
Good luck, Coach.
Coach Bill Belichick right here on OMF.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI. Before, during, and after the show at OMF on WEEI. Let's get you back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Man, we had first-round pick in Ben Watson, a first-round pick in Dan Graham, of course, me. And I was like, wow, he still put Mike Vrabel in there. I don't know what we did to Bill, but he sure was trying to stick it to us. I don't know what it is. Somebody must have had some, you know, smart-aleck comment to you, and you said, you know what, I'll prove to you who's in control. The genesis of that, like, do you remember how it even started, or was it a need-based thing? Did somebody get
hurt? Yeah, I'm sure it started as a need-based thing.
So
yeah,
you weren't
sure.
Just trying to screw with us?
What, I'd do that?
I don't know.
You know I wouldn't do that.
Oh, never do that to you, Christian.
Man. And we just had more Vrabel stories. This is a tough week for you, big fella. And I didn't. Lou and I apologize not being sensitive individuals like you are. We forgot that this is a big week because Mike Vrabel's going to get lots of attention. And, of course, when Mike Vrabel gets attention, it means people look back and say, oh, the tight ends took a seat because they put Vrabel out there in the
red zone. Right.
So how much was the trash talk with him? Like, you know, one catch, 1 yard, one touchdown. Would he come in a tight end meeting like, all
no,
right,
it
a tough
was,
week?
It was just weird because nobody ever.
He knew you were fuming?
Well, it was like I said, you have all the, it's not like we have a bunch of chumps in there, backups in there. Like, you know, I was an early second round pick. So, and then they moved up to get Dan, and then they had Ben, you know, so I'm like, okay, we'll never have any options. It's, you know, there's not a lot of opportunities in those goal line situations, so they should go to the tight ends.
So do you
not
remember
some
that year?
Slap, like, linebacker that's just, you know, with his grinny face and just, like, rubbing it in.
Well, I do that.
Knowing, no, because he knew.
Not closure yet.
No. You're over it. No. He's like Donnie Sadler, for God's sake. Bring that up.
No, that's not that.
So wait, it's did just Ben like, or Graham or someone get hurt?
I don't. I honestly don't remember. I don't listen. I was. I never missed, so it wasn't me. So they can't blame me for it. I held up my hand.
I never missed.
Well, I did it. I didn't miss. I never missed a game when I was here.
Did you get any calls from any writers wanting to?
I did.
This week?
This guy called me up last week. I swear to God, Travis Haney, I think his name is, from The Athletic, calls me up. He's like, yeah, I'm doing a story, Mike Vrabel, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, great. Here we go. It's going to be a great week.
We want to talk about his touchdowns.
Yeah, and so it's, you know, and you guys heard Bill, you know, talking about it. He was an ass. Like, Vrabel was an ass. Like, when he came into those meeting rooms, he kind of knew we were protective over it. And we couldn't do anything about it.
Well, doesn't matter.
And so, and then knowing that, like, you know, most of the time he was backside cutoff guy.
Yeah.
Okay, no threats. Okay, backside cutoff guy. And if it was a pass, he was not the first option. Like, he was never the first option. So I think the first touchdown, one of the first ones he caught was against the Rams, and it was a backside corner play where Brady was supposed to look front side. But something happened, so he had to, avert and change direction and throw it backside. And sure enough, there's freaking Slappy over there in the corner, and he made an unbelievable catch. He made a great catch. Like, you can't be mad at him. I was like, wow, that was a tough catch. Like, threw it over his shoulder, kept his feet in bounds.
Well, I'm looking at 04. Watson only played one game.
Well, yeah, he blew his knee out.
So Daniel Graham had 14. You were there for 16. So maybe that was the year. He had two catches for two touchdowns.
I think it might have been. What was he in? It might have been 03. I'm not even sure when the first time, because Tom Ashworth, remember, also caught some touchdown passes.
Everybody was goal line tight end.
Richard Seymour, they put him out there. Dan Klecko. I mean, they put everybody back there. Fine.
Unbelievable. I didn't even think of it. It's going to be a rough week for you, and I apologize. And anything we can do to support you.
No, I know they're going to lose.
You know, we're your comfort.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. I know they're going to lose, so I'm totally fine with it.
So you know Vrabel's going to lose.
It is. That's the first player as a head coach. And not like Billy O, not like an assistant coach gone to a head coach.
Yeah, think about it for Brady. Brady is now going up against a teammate, as a coach now. That's never happened.
That's
before.
The first one, huh?
No, yeah. And it's. I'm trying to think. Of all the years that he's coached, like, he's never had a player become a head coach.
A head coach.
Like, I just
like
think
Vrabel's defensive coordinator is always down there, right,
yes,
in Houston.
Yes, so that situation, you got a bunch of guys, or assistant coaches that have game planned
against
you.
Romeo.
But being the head coach, and he's not even that far removed when you really think about it.
No.
Mike went straight from the Kansas City, obviously went here, then Kansas City, and then he went straight to being the linebacker coach at Ohio State. Like, didn't even take a year off. Like, went straight to being the linebacker coach, and then his buddy Luke Fickell became the interim head coach, and then Urban Meyer came in, and then Mike went with Romeo and Bill to Houston, the linebackers coach, defensive coordinator, head coach. I mean, his arc was quick. I mean, I'll say, like, his defense sucked last year.
Yeah.
The Houston defense was terrible. Yeah. Wasn't any
good.
Well,
they had injuries, though. There was a reason.
Okay, still. Well, I mean, you could say that everyone deals with injuries.
J.J. Watt, I'd say.
But everyone deals with injuries. So,
yeah,
I mean,
a couple years ago, though, their defense got better when J.J. was out, statistically-wise.
So, I just don't think you can use that as an excuse with every single team. Then every time someone gets hurt, you just say, forget about it. We're not going to judge you for this year. Just say it. His defense sucked. He was a terrible defensive coordinator. He lucked
terrible.
Into his spot.
It was awful.
And I can't believe somebody gave him an opportunity.
Make you feel better. He was terrible.
You're
he was
fine.
Awful. I don't know what he's doing in the league. I don't
wrong,
understand
we need,
it.
We need to somehow get on the coach's conference call with him.
And you prank him.
Can we?
Like a prick.
Yeah.
Why don't we do that?
Hello?
Why don't we set you up? Why don't we set you up on the conference call? The same way you call radio stations.
How do we do that?
Franco?
We need to do it.
We'll get it done.
This is Chris.
Wednesday.
Yeah, this is Chris. Hi, this is Chris from the Foxborough Journal.
Yeah, Wednesday.
Do you think you were a better tight end than Christian Fourier?
Yeah.
Good. Wednesday, done.
Set it up.
Done. Done deal. Can I just bring this
game.
Bring this up? And then
for
we'll
him,
we'll
just having a former player.
Yeah, I think it's very strange, very different. But when you're 41, though, you know, that's going to happen eventually, right?
They had four. Yeah. I mean, look at all the night games that they have had.
Yeah,
it
no, that
really
was a good
off
point.
The charts. They've had five of the last seven.
And by the way, can I just say this?
Four of the last five.
We've made progress. You asked, I thought, a very good question, because these are tedious night games. You want to get back to playing 1 o'clock with some semblance. Normally, I think Bill would say, hey, Lou, we play whatever's on the schedule or whatever. He didn't do that.
No.
He admitted that these night games are a pain in the ass.
I think he gave in because the first question he asked, I was like, oh, no. Here we go. Which I thought was a good one. You know, they're 30th in the league in sacks, 13. But I don't think they really, no, that's not, obviously you want sacks, but, you know, the new sabermetrics, whatever, pressure, there's other ones. Remember one we saw, like, pressuring the quarterback? The Patriots were, like, top three in the league in pressuring quarterbacks, and they're, like, second to last in sacks.
Yeah, Flowers, I think, is
so
number
really
one in the league.
So it's really about pressuring sacks. And he's like, in the end, it's just about points, Lou. And I'm like, oh, that's it?
That's how the game's played, Lou. You know that.
Like, you should know better.
And then I think he loosened up.
I think the Packers had a lot to do with that.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, he was in a – and I asked him, like, when I heard that press conference, we're just watching it, obviously. I think you may have been watching it also, but you're doing the post-game show.
Yeah.
He looked relieved.
Yeah.
He looked like, okay, not that he necessarily dodged a bullet, but you don't have to stress out and worry about how badly this quarterback can affect you. Like, because you're probably losing a lot of sleep. You're not worried about Nathan Peterman or Brock Osweiler or any of these other guys.
Well, he said
this guy is an elite
end,
quarterback.
We're talking about all the primetime games. He reiterated again. He's like, yeah, it was a short week, Monday night on the road to come back and play Green Bay, a team that is really difficult. I mean, really difficult, right? Difficult to kind of game plan against. There's so many things. So you were right. He sounded relieved that game is over. It was a W. It was a tough week to prepare for and move on.
See, I also think he's probably starting to feel pretty good about this team. And, you know, there are a lot of doubts as you go along. Are you going to get better? And especially when you have a tough game like this and your defense responds to that Green Bay Packer offense, you got to feel pretty good. 7-2, and you look ahead, and anybody that was suddenly, are we going to get calls back from those people who are calling saying they're 9-7 this year? It's an 8-8 season.
I'm doing it right here. I was.
I think they should just lose a couple, just to kind of, so I can be
offense turn. Now they look like the team you recognize.
Nothing
has changed the last 3 or 4 years now.
The offense,
same thing.
I know they've won Super Bowls without Gronk. That's crazy. You're basically playing without a tight end. He gave Dwayne Allen a lot of props when you think about it.
He's right about that.
If you only given you one job, one opportunity, you better damn well be freaking awesome at it.
Well, unlike Vrabel, who had numerous. Oh, did I go there? I'm sorry.
I'm fine. There's a healing process.
No, you're obviously
that
over it. We saw that.
I mean, I love.
We all have our crosses to bear, Lou. Yeah. You have yours. I have mine.
I'm good.
His are donuts. I was gonna bring donuts today. I didn't want to. I don't want to
lose donuts in L.A. Killer.
That's right. I tell you what. You kept saying you weren't gonna eat them. Who ate more donuts? Than this guy.
Come back with Damian Woody.
More donuts.
I don't want him. I'll try one more.
Actually, every break he's stuffing those donuts.
Let me get rid of him. He walked down the hall and ate like two
you?
Or three before he threw
them. What about you that day, too? You were like.
I'm. But that's what I do when I go to California.
All right, you want to get to the phone calls?
Yeah, let's
get to the phone
calls. Not really.
Not really.
Oh, go ahead. I don't know. Give me a couple.
Where are we at with
Brian?
Anyways,
here's Brian. I have no idea. Here's Brian. Hi, Brian.
Hey. Hey, boys. I wanted to ask you a question. You know, my opinion, I think that the Patriots have such a good system and such a good coach. They fixed players. The question I have for you is, do you think that if they got Nathan Peterman, they could fix him?
No.
No, no. What are you kidding?
He's like,
what's happening today? Are we, are all the callers on coke? What are we doing here?
You can't just, you know, like, take me and make me a safety.
No.
You know, like, no, they can't save
Peterman. You could take Vrabel, though, Peterman, and make him a tight end.
Peterman's just a pick, automatic pick six every time.
Come on, Brian. You can't.
You know, there are some quarterbacks that.
It just can't be fixed.
Yeah. I mean, because if that was the case, if they could fix all these quarterbacks, they'd never get rid of anybody.
Please.
Like,
please.
What happened to Danny Etling? Where is he?
No,
is he in, like, the fix-it room? Is he in the workshop? Are they tinkering with him? You know, we can't save him. He's a $6 million man. Hey, what is that?
I think Nate Peterman, and I don't know what the record is, and I don't even have to look at the record book. He must have the most interceptions for passes thrown of any quarterback in the history of the game, right? I mean, he's got 9 interceptions.
He's a God-fearing man, though. God wants him to throw interceptions.
He's played 2 games. He's got 9 picks already. All right, we're going to take a break now, and then we'll get to the phone calls. We'll open up the lines and talk to you at 617-779-7937 right here on OMF.
OMF. We return to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, back here on OMF. Let's run through a couple of these phone calls quickly here. Here's Jen in the car. Hi, Jen.
Hello. How are you?
Hello.
What's up? By the way, nice job with Coach Belichick. I thought it was fantastic dialogue, and I even think I heard him chuckle. So
great
mood. He's in a good mood today, boy.
He was grinning at Lou nonstop during the interview.
I could feel it through the radio. last night, we were in command of that game. I thought from the start, everything continued very comfortably, confidently. Even when we reached the tie score, I still felt good about the game. Defense was totally on target, doing their job. My question is with regard to the double pass. I want to know your opinion on why use such a unique and almost special play when we were in control of the game. Do you guys think that, you know, those special tricks should be used or should be saved for more?
I don't know how much.
You weren't in control of the game.
It was
a tie game at the time. I know.
Yeah.
You felt good about it. And I did.
Well, all right. Yes, yeah, so I was feeling great because I just liked what I thought and I liked what the defense was doing. But I just think that those specialty plays should be used under, you know, more, you know, serious conditions.
Well, I thought it was pretty serious condition. You need to win that game. That's a home game against a pretty good football team, though a team right now that still might not make the playoffs, which is amazing.
Well, Jen, I don't know if you heard Brady this morning, too, with the guys, and they asked him that question you just said. You know, was it a desperate time, and you put it on film. He actually said that there's so many gadget plays that we have, we can't possibly do them all. And, you know, maybe you put that on film because it's a fake screen to James White as Edelman throws the ball deep.
Right.
Right.
So, I mean, maybe now that you put it on film, now there's maybe a play off of that play that you can run. But Brady said they got a ton of them this morning.
Okay.
Well, Christian, you tell me. There are wrinkles off of all of these things. So isn't it a plus if you're showing something like that? Other teams are looking at it that you're going to play down the road, and now the next time you run it, you have a wrinkle off of that. That's bit different.
I don't know if that double pass was a wrinkle off of anything. I don't think it was that. Just all right. Like
everybody does that.
Everybody runs again, though. I mean, if you do it again, they'll be like, oh, screen to the right, or screen to the left, or whatever. Yeah. And instead, he's throwing it deep. Maybe not to Dwayne Allen, but to somebody else.
Right. A lot of love for Dwayne Allen today.
Here's Dave's next up here on EEI. Hi, Dave.
Hey, guys. First time, long time caller. I had a quick question for you. Last night, Bill gave a news conference, which was really talky for Bill.
After the game.
My question is, he's been watching Alex doing these conferences all year long, and his teams play tough, and he just gives a lot of information out anyways. Do you think this has had any kind of effect on Bill?
No.
So he's learning from Alex Cora?
Zero.
That'd be great.
Well, he's always, Dave. I mean, if you guys ever listen to read his books, he's always talking about how he's
a history of the game, and he's always watching other coaches and learning from them.
Yeah, I think that was more a product of
how tough that game was.
Right. We want a game against a team that's, as he said, he pointed out to us, very difficult to game plan against.
It's actually good news.
I'm sure the core thing went over great beforehand, but I'm not sure that was it. Here's Mike in New Hampshire. Mike?
How you doing?
Good.
Hey, Mike.
I'm just calling because Joe Maloney called and said somebody got to help him out here, and I'm going to help him out.
Joe Maloney?
Who's Joe Maloney?
I don't know.
Okay, go ahead.
Anyway,
Joe Maloney. Huh? Got a brother, Lou?
Yeah, what are we doing right now?
Oh, Lou Maloney. Yeah, that's
for you, Lou Maloney.
Oh my God,
Lou Maloney.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Go ahead. What are you going to help me out with?
Go ahead.
I'm going to help you out with those guys. Have no idea what they're talking about.
You called him Joe.
You're right.
That's a good point. Okay. All right, good job. Good call.
Lou Maloney, right?
Yes.
Professional baseball player.
Right.
Okay. What are we doing?
Excellent at his job.
Right.
And he's trying to tell you guys.
We gotta go. We're busy.
We sat around for the whole time. I wanted the payoff.
We gotta go. There is no payoff.
Here's the payoff.
He doesn't even know his name.
Give me the payoff. Go ahead.
Here's the payoff, Lou. You are so right, so spot on.
About what?
These guys don't even know what they're
about
talking
what?
About
what?
Football.
Oh, good. Now say goodbye.
About Josh Gordon.
Now say goodbye.
Josh Gordon. Did you come up with your numbers?
You would think that he would be right about David Price, but he wasn't. You would think he'd be right about the Red Sox, but he wasn't.
Don't you go on to Houston.
Picked the Yankees, didn't
he?
In the first round.
To win. I'm scared. Yeah.
I tell you what.
Good job, Joe.
You know who's going to win the AFC? It's going to be the Ravens.
Hey,
boy,
that one's falling apart, isn't it?
We should. You know
Joe
what?
Flacco, bad predictions.
We are like basically at the halfway point. We need to reevaluate.
Can we go back and set that up?
Yeah.
We will reevaluate all the stuff. We're almost halfway through. Okay, I can tell you this.
Get your Josh.
Are we taking a break? What are you doing?
Yeah,
he's not breaking.
All right, what are you doing? Taking a break.
Oh, you are.
Get your Josh Gordon stats ready.
Can't you hear Ryan in the headphones? Ryan,
eight games to go. Get your Josh Gordon
anymore. I can tell. You like totally ignore him now. All right. We will take a break. We'll be back with more of your phone calls. 617-779-7937 right here on OMF.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.